I can honestly say I've never gone from singing a solo with a choir to preaching a sermon, so you have to give me a moment here. Thanks to Phil and the choir for inviting me to sing with them and putting up with my lack of ability to read music. This morning's sermon is part of our sermon series about growing in spirit, which is the first part of our mission statement. And one of the undercurrents of our mission statement is the spiritual practice of welcoming other people. And so this morning's sermon begins with a reading, a meditation by a colleague of ours, the Reverend Kathleen McTeague. It's a meditation entitled, Who Knows You? Or perhaps you could say, Who Knows You? She writes, Some of the old New England graveyards are serene little pockets of neglect. Their slate tombstones lean at odd angles, and the elegant calligraphy is barely legible, spelling out obscure colonial names like Ozias and Zebulon. Some of the inscriptions that can still be deciphered tell poignant stories of sons and husbands fallen in long ago wars, and young wives lost in childbirth. The engraved cries of lament, Farewell, beloved daughter, evoke a tug of grief even now, though the people named have been dust and earth for 200 years or more. One of these graveyards in my town evokes a sadness of a different sort, held in the inscription on a modern tombstone marking the resting place of Franklin F. Bailey. He was born in 1901 and buried in 1988, so he lived a long time. His epitaph says simply, Here lies a man that nobody really knew. What a strange message to leave echoing down through the years, and what a freight of sadness is held in that short phrase. It tells of isolation, loneliness, a life lived invisibly, a voice unheard. Here lies a man that nobody really knew. Who knows you? We each move through the world caught within the bubble of our own mind, circling around each other like small planets on which each of us is the only citizen. Spiritual practices are meant to turn us directly into that inner landscape so we can know it well and without illusion. But their larger purpose is to show us pathways to one another, because with practice, we come to know a bedrock truth of this human life. However different each inner landscape is from the others, the same winds blow through us all. They are the winds of longing and fear, doubt, hope, and regret. No one is exempt. That simple recognition opens a deep well of compassion, both for our own struggles and for those taking place behind the faces that surround us. The spiritual practice of welcoming others. I remember once hearing a colleague preach a sermon in which they commented on what they saw as one of the saddest ironies of human living, that we desperately crave and need meaningful connections in our lives, and yet are sometimes so maddeningly adept at undermining our capacity to do just that. We want, he said, to love and be loved, to know and be known. We want to connect so deeply and so desperately with those around us. And yet sometimes it seems we do everything in our power to make sure that's not possible. We want to have connections that matter. We want to be deeply tied to others that help us feel cared for, to know that on our life's journey we have companionship. And yet sometimes we are lousy at making those ties. We push people away or never let them in to begin with. We treat them unfairly or with mean-spiritedness. And once we are connected with people, we sometimes lose our friendships by allowing misunderstandings to grow and to fester. This morning, I want to talk about building meaningful connections in two different ways. First, I want to talk about the ties that we can create here in this congregational community, here at church, which is a place that I think of as sort of a laboratory of beloved community. I want to look at the ways that we can use this covenanted community that is committed to right relationship as a place to connect. And when we make mistakes or inadvertently hurt one another, which of course we will and we already have, to find a way to apologize. And as one of the Yom Kippur readings in the back of our hymnal about atonement says, to forgive ourselves and each other and begin again in love. And second, this morning, I want to explore how it is that welcoming other people into our lives is, as my colleague said in the reading, a spiritual practice. Many of you will remember well my story about the church I served in Washington, D.C. There are a lot of you who are new, so I'll tell it again, and I never tire of telling this story anyway. At All Souls, big, huge, hulking brick building, there are many, many steps that lead up to the front door off of 16th Street, one of the main thoroughfares in Washington, D.C., and it was our custom to stand out front by the doors, the wide open doors that you sang of this morning, and greet with a smile and a handshake, a hug to those we knew better, welcoming people in to worship any and every person who came to the door. You've heard me say many times that I am a church junkie. If I wasn't a minister, I'd still be at worship somewhere every Sunday because I love it. And so when I'm getting ready for church services on Sunday, I'm usually filled with adrenaline, full of happiness, full of excitement about what is about to happen, which is the magic of worship. And so there I was one morning, bubbling over with my usual happiness. I think it was probably April or May, so in Washington, D.C., everything is blooming like it is here, starting in February for some reason. I was just, the day was beautiful, it was sunny, the sky was blue, and I was happy. And this young woman in her mid-20s came walking up the stairs. I'd never met her before, never seen her before. She wasn't familiar to me at all. And I greeted her with my big puppy happy greeting. And I said, "Good morning! Welcome! It's so good to see you." And immediately, her face fell. And tears formed at the edges of her eyes. So I dialed back my happy puppy by many, many degrees. I stopped and I looked her in the eye and I said, "But it's not a good morning for you, is it?" The tears that were forming at the edges of her eyes began to slip down her face. I offered her a hug, and then she went in to worship. I never found out that young woman's story. I don't know why she was crying, but I know that her pain was real, and I know that it was important for me to honor that pain by not hitting her over the head with happiness. We need to be ready to adjust our approach if need be. Genuine meeting, like I had with that young woman that day, requires a willingness to be authentic, to speak honestly about who we are, and to listen deeply in return. It means a willingness to decenter ourselves and our own needs in order to really hear what's going on for another person. Another story, another Sunday that I haven't told as often was at the end of one of those services. We had recessed down the center aisle, and my colleague and I were standing at the back of the sanctuary, as we always did, listening to the choir perform the benediction in music, usually exhilarated by what we heard. And as we listened, I looked over and saw someone seated in the back row just sobbing. Body wrapped, you know, those sobs where your whole body is moving. This person was sobbing, sitting alone in the back row, listening to this choral piece. And I slid in the pew next to her, draped an arm around her shoulders, and just sat. We listened to that last song, and when the choir had finished, I said simply to her, "I am sorry that things are so hard. I will pray for you." And so I want to challenge each of you this morning as you think about these stories and think about all that people bring with them to church on any given Sunday, to talk to someone new each week. Perhaps you usually come to church and you talk to some of the same friends you've had for years if you're a longtime member. Perhaps even if you're a new person, you tend to only talk to your cohort of new people. But I want to invite you to push beyond your comfort zone. Yes, even you introverts. Want to invite you to welcome someone new or greet someone that you've been around before at church for some time but never had a conversation with. I want to invite you to engage with them by asking open-ended questions that invite them to share something about themselves. Something about something other than the weather. I know that we start with simple, non-threatening topics. We have to. But what could you ask that might help you to get to know someone? Something like, "What made you decide to come to church this morning?" Or, "What did you think of the music today?" Or, "Did something happen in the service that resonated with you?" Or, "What's going on in your life that's taking most of your attention right now?" Ask a question and then simply listen. Don't make assumptions or leap to advise or point out how what that person has said mirrors your own experience. In other words, when you're talking to this person, don't make it about you. It seems to me that this is the power of the small groups that we have in our congregations, the chalice circles and the covenant groups. Maybe even some of the committees that some of you are part of are like this as well. You listen, you create connection without trying to fix or advise or change. You listen simply for the sake of what the other person has to say, not to hear where you might interject. You ever had that annoying experience where you say something and you feel like the person you were talking to was just listening for where they could jump in and say, "Oh, that reminds me of my Aunt Susie." And you think, after you've just said this heartfelt something, "I wasn't talking about your Aunt Susie. I've never met her, and I don't care about Aunt Susie right now. What I had to share was about me. I was trying to tell you about me. I want you to know me." Please don't push it away. Don't try to fix. Don't try to tell me what to do. Don't try to tell me how my life is just like yours. Yes, we share a common humanity, and we'll get to that. But for right now, I just want to be known. I just want to be heard. This is the art of the spiritual practice of welcome, of hospitality in its deepest sense. Trying to come to know other people not as a means to an end, but as the gifts that they are in and of themselves. The practice of hospitality and loving presence, of being who we want to be with other people. Best selves who are loving and caring. And it seems to me that when we invite others to be loving, by being loving ourselves, we model what we want our world to be like. Full of people ready to invite the full presence of all those they encounter. Remember the words of the reading that I began with? Kathleen McTeague said, "The larger purpose of spiritual practices is to show us pathways to one another. Because with practice, we come to know a bedrock truth of this human life. However different each inner landscape is from the others, the same winds blow through us all. They are the winds of longing and fear, doubt, hope and regret. No one is exempt." And that simple recognition opens a deep well of compassion. Every time I read that reading, every time I read again that epitaph, "Here lies a man that nobody really knew," makes me want to cry. 87 years and no one really knew him. So let me close this morning with two final illustrations of this art of hospitality, the spiritual practice of welcome. because I realize that while most of what I've said this morning are sort of nice, pretty words about how beautiful it is to be connected to people, I know that this isn't easy. I know that we often miss one another. I know that there is messiness in human connection, that we bring with us lots of challenges, and that it can be hard to bridge those differences amongst us. In the song I sang with the choir earlier, I said, did you hear what I sang? I said, bring your anger. Bring your burdens. Come with your sorrow. The song itself implied that when we come into any space of relationship with other people, we should bring our whole selves. And whole selves are not like the big puppy Shauna waiting at the front door, happy all the time. Whole selves bring burdens and anger and sorrow. Whole selves need to be invited to be present. And we have to realize that when we connect in these ways, we will not always have ideal connections. Someone will bring their anger and they'll hurt you, and you'll have to start again. Someone will come with their sorrow, and their sorrow is all they can see that day, and they can't connect with you at all. All they can do is cry. And you will have to simply sit with their tears and wait for another day to get to know them. They will come with their burdens, and their burdens will feel inconvenient to you. They will feel silly sometimes, or petty, or trite, or you won't get them. Why are you worried about this? But rather than trying to convince them that their burdens are not right, or there's something off about them, you will have to simply sit with them while they are burdened and say, as I did to that woman who was sobbing in the back row, I'm sorry it's so hard. And sometimes relationships that are built grow unhealthy. Let's just name that. Sometimes you will connect with someone and then realize this relationship is broken beyond repair. And sometimes when that's the case, the spiritual practice is to walk away with integrity. To say, this isn't working. We keep hurting each other, or you keep hurting me. Sometimes the right thing to do is to say, this isn't going to work. And yes, friends, it means that we will be hurt. We can and should keep striving toward our best, not perfect, selves, and inviting others into our lives. But the road will not always be smooth or easy. My final story is about how I spent some of my time yesterday afternoon. I spent some time yesterday with the Pape family, and Marion's here this morning. Her husband, Manfred, as many of you know, is dying at the age of 71. He's no longer conscious. But when you sit in his room with him, as I did yesterday, with his wife and his son and his daughter-in-law and his sister, any conversation you have is punctuated by his slow and labored breathing. And while Manfred was still conscious, I had two precious conversations with him, conversations in which I was struck then by his utter candor. I suppose when we're on our deathbeds, there's no reason to hold back. What else can you do but say what's real and true? But it felt to me like he spoke more than just his truth. It felt to me like he invited me into his life, into his thoughts and his fear, and into his love. And I hope that as I listened to him on those two visits, I responded to him with as much humanity as he showed me, that I met him in the deepest possible sense. Yesterday, as I left, I paused in the doorway and I blew Manfred a kiss. And I said I loved him. And when I was getting in my car to drive home, it struck me how unheard of that would have been for me in the past. When I was in my 20s, I had decided I was never going to use the word love unless I had absolute certainty that it applied, that it was the right word to use. I decided that Hallmark had overused the word love to the point of having made the word meaningless. So why tell people all the time you love them? Why sign everything you write, love? It doesn't mean anything anymore. So I withheld my love. Apparently that was better, I thought. But now I don't think so. Now I think loving more, not less, seems the wiser course. Give the love you feel when you feel it as often as you can. Love not foolishly, of course, but with abandon nonetheless. I love now not with full knowledge, but with and in the understanding that knowing you, being touched by your humanity, having your life intersect with mine, has changed me. As I was writing these words, the musical theater fan that is my wife and that is our music director began to sing a song in my ear. As our lives intersect and as we connect with one another, as we leave impressions on one another's beings, I thought of a line in a musical. Melora would be so proud. And it goes like this. Who can say if I've been changed for the better? But because I knew you, because I knew you, I have been changed for good. Who can say if I've been changed for the better? But because I knew you, Manfred, because I knew you, woman crying in the back pew, because I knew you, woman that I greeted like a puppy on a spring morning, I have been changed for good. We are the better, my friends, for opening our hearts and letting others in. So may we grow in our capacity to truly meet. to truly meet by knowing ourselves well and listening for the humanity of others. So may it be, now and always. Amen.